I'm going to ask Ashby if he'll come up. I hadn't even gotten started, and they're already laughing at my sermon. It is good. Today is a good day. It's a day to be in the house of the Lord. It's also a day to remember. It's a day to celebrate. It's a day to look forward. And we will do all of that. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to John chapter 13. We'll be looking at two verses, verses 34 and 35. I'll give you a moment as we get there. Also, if I know we have some guests here today, if you choose to, as we go along throughout the service, there'll be an outline on the screen, but there's also that same outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. But the scripture today, beginning with John 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is God's word. As we come together today, I have a message that I believe is from God, and it's somewhat directed towards our graduates, but I believe it's also a message for all of us. And I begin with a question. What is the one thing you need for your journey? I've entitled this Wisdom for the Journey. But the question is, what is the one thing you need for your journey? If we were to look forward, if you were to try to put it all together, those graduates, those whether you're graduating from high school or from college, if there was one thing you were going to need that was going to get you where God wanted you to be, what would it be? I'm going to suggest that that word, that one thing, is love. And as we look at this, it seems to begin with very cliche, because love can mean just about anything anybody wants to make it believe. You could take any message and put it into that, but I don't desire to do that. I want us to look at the scripture and understand what the scripture says, and I believe it can and will direct you in your future in a very specific way, not just generally, but in a very specific way. Because you see, as you talk about love, the problem sometimes is, and I've mentioned this before in several of my sermons, in the English language, love is a word that's just overused. Because we have the same word for saying we love our moms, we love our pets, we love pizza, we love God. But there's a difference in those emotions. There's a difference in those feelings. Today, I want us to focus on the scripture that we just had. And I want us to understand the context, the meaning, the depth, the truth of the word love that's included in the scripture today. So I'll read the scripture once again, and I invite all of us to hear that and try to hear it not just as I speak it, but the song that we began with today and talked about what we believe. And talked about we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, I think as good Baptists, we get God the Father and Jesus Christ pretty well, but sometimes we don't necessarily get that Holy Spirit part. And that's happening right now. As I read this scripture, yes, I'm sharing it, and yes, you hear me, and yes, the Bible is something God's given us, but the Holy Spirit is alive and well and speaking to you. So when I say understand what the word love means in this context, the Holy Spirit right now can stir in you and move you and perhaps enable you to understand the word love and understand the scripture like you've never understood it before. So I don't want you to hear me today. I want you to hear what God has to say through the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read the scripture again and allow the Holy Spirit to move and touch your heart. And allow that word love just to jump out to you. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So that's what we mean when we say love. So I want to break love down into four parts this morning. And I made them into an acronym. The first, L, and I believe it goes back to the scripture. L, the first word, the first letter in love, also reminds us to listen. The scripture said, a new command I give you. Graduates, all of us, we need to listen. And listening is an important skill, but here, I want us to listen for God. The scripture here says, a new command I give you. And I believe this command, as we understand it, ultimately comes from God. God speaks to us every single day. He speaks to us through His Word. God the Father speaks to us through His creation. God the Son speaks to us because we understood that He sacrificed everything He had. And God the Holy Spirit speaks to us every single day through the way we live, through the actions that happen, through the opportunities that come to us. So we need to be willing to listen. You don't just listen when you're doing your Bible reading in the morning. You don't just listen when you come to a church service or attend a small group. We have opportunity to listen throughout everything that happens in our lives every day. It's just being in tune with what God's Spirit desires to say to us. So the first thing is listen. The second one, observe. Pay attention. We listen, God's able to speak to us, but then observe what God is doing around us. The scripture says, love one another as I have loved you. How has God loved you this past week? I've been with a lot of you this past week, this past weekend especially. Thanks for the invitation to the parties, by the way. It was awesome. But there I saw love. I saw the way God has blessed us. God has loved us and taken care of us. And this scripture says that we are to love each other in that way. So in order to love each other the way God has loved us, we need to observe, we need to pay attention, we need to know what God does and acknowledge that. And not just in generalities, not just saying God loves everybody, God takes care of everybody. Specifically, how does God do that? And then as we recognize that, as we see that, God calls us out, as we understand, to be able to be His hands, His feet, His arms, His truth, His love for those who need it. The next word is value. What are your values? Graduates, this is a time, I'm guessing, at least at some point, there's been that quiet, sentimental time, or will be if you're still in the midst of all your parties and getting ready for whatever's coming next. But there's going to be a time when you're just going to be quiet and to yourself, and you're thinking about what's next really all about. And as you do, you'll need to consider, what is it that you value? What is it that's really important to you? In all of the past years, when it really comes down to it, who are you and what makes you who you are? What are your values? I want to challenge you, as you continue to think in this direction, that you try to embrace that your values are what God's values are. God has a desire and a plan for you. And as we listen, as we observe, we will recognize what God desires. And Scripture tells us that anything that we pray for and ask, God will provide for us. But as a part of that scripture, it also talks about the fact that we understand what God's will is for us. So the two come together. We have anything we desire and want from God when our values line up with what God's values are, because God wants to bless you. Your parents, graduates, your parents, I've heard speeches, I've read cards, your parents want to bless you and encourage you and be a part of giving you anything and everything they can right now to enable you to grow in the direction and be all that you can be. And that's a great thing. But you know what? God does too. And as wonderful and as resourceful as your parents are, God can do an even better job of that than your parents can. So I encourage you to tap into that, to realize that. And the last word leads to it, embrace. Embrace. Embrace that opportunity. Graduates, God is placing opportunity in front of you. There are many people who have come past the point that you are in life right now, and they can give you all these speeches about, I wish I could go back to that point and embrace that and have it. And there's so many things I would understand. The thing is, they can't do that. But you can. You can embrace this point on. And you embrace that by listening, by observing, by embracing the values that God gives you. And then the journey becomes one that's exciting. Not always easy, but it will be exciting. Even in the midst of the days that seem normal, as you look back, just like you look back now and you see how puzzle pieces fit together, the same thing is going to happen in your life. Now, for those of us who aren't graduates, I said we aren't able to go back to the point the graduates are now. Truth be said, I don't know that you really want to go back through all of that, through all of what you've been through again. But the exciting thing is God desires you to embrace the opportunity you have in front of you now. You don't have to go back to that point to be able to become the person God wants you to be. God enables that to happen now. So this message is for everyone. There's a story that I want to share with you. It's a true story. It's about a boy named Chris. And Chris, in his senior year, and it's a true story told by another youth minister. Chris was in a discipleship group. We've been talking about discipleship in worship for some time now, and this is directed towards that. I believe discipleship fits very well with where the graduates are being called to now, and that'll be kind of how we conclude. But in this story about Chris, he was meeting with his youth pastor once a week, and he had a vision, he had an idea, he had a plan of something that he really believed God had put on his heart. And his plan was to share the gospel with every student in his high school before they graduated. And God placed this on his heart. That's a pretty big vision. It was exciting for his youth pastor when his youth pastor came and he came to youth pastor and shared that. But as they sat and talked and prayed about and tried to figure out, there was no plan that just fit together really well in terms of how that was going to happen. But Chris didn't give up on it. Well, you see, the reason it was difficult for Chris was because Chris wasn't very well known at school. He wasn't a popular kid. He wasn't in any of the groups. He didn't play on any of the sports teams. He just didn't really have any connections to the student population other than just being an ordinary student. In fact, he was a skater. And the school he was at this point, the skaters weren't cool. The skaters were not ones that got respect. They were just kind of left to the side to do their own thing. But Chris still had in his head that he wanted a clear gospel presentation at least once to every student in his high school before they graduated. And Chris was faithful to do what he could in the midst of this, even though he didn't see how the big picture it was going to happen. Well, Chris didn't stress about that or get upset that it wasn't going to happen, that he couldn't figure it out. He just did what he knew how to do. And so one day there was this new student named Mark who came to Chris's school. See, Mark's parents were divorced, and he had been attending a school in Miami where his mom lived. And he hit adolescence with a vengeance. He was angry. He was hurt. He couldn't understand his parents' divorce. It was just a bad time for him. He turned to drugs. He turned to alcohol. It got to his point his mom just couldn't handle him anymore. And his mom said, that's it. You're going to live with your dad. So that's what he did. She sent him to live with his dad. And this was the school he got dropped in. And as he was there, You can imagine what it was like when he went to that school. Mark, being the person that he was, when he walked down the hall, he had an attitude that went a mile in front of him. Nobody had any desire to reach out to him, to be a part of him, and maybe rightfully so. He was mean. He was angry. Nobody wanted to reach out to him except Chris. Because you see, Chris, being who Chris was, he had nothing to lose, and he wasn't intimidated by anybody. So one day, when he saw Mark, he went up and he just began sitting at a lunch table with him. They had some conversations. They found out they had something in common. They both kind of liked the same music, some of the same songs. As they talked, they found out that Mark liked to play around with the drums. Chris played a little bit on the bass. Eventually, Chris ended up inviting Mark to come to his house. They played some music. They talked for a while, and eventually Mark opened up and told Chris his story. And Chris listened. And as he listened, his heart began to become soft. And he began to see Mark the way God saw him. And after Mark had finished telling his story, Chris told him, "You know, God loves you. God understands what you've been through. And God will help you." Now, Mark didn't understand what all this about, but he knew that Chris had really listened to him, and there was something about Chris that this made sense. So he began attending youth group with Chris and just doing some of the things Chris was doing, and it made a difference. Well, jump forward, Chris actually graduated. Mark was a year behind Chris. Mark was a junior when Chris was a senior. Chris graduated and went on, continued to do what he was going to do. Well, Mark was still in the youth group, and he came to his youth pastor one day and said, "You're not going to believe this, but I've been asked to speak in front of the student body." And he was asked to speak at what was called an Arrive Alive assembly. And it was something they had before the kids would go away to spring break. And the whole thing was they wanted to try to get across to them not to drink and drive. And the principal knew where Mark had come from. They knew the challenges he had had. And the principal knew that somehow or another there had just been a big transformation in Mark's life. He had a good connection with a lot of the students there at the school. So they asked if at the end of that he would just say a word or two about his journey. So guess what? He did. He stood up after the big presentation had been given. The principal introduced and says, "One of our own is going to share a few words and bring us to a close." And as he did, he stood up and he talked about what it was like when he first came there. And the fact he didn't like anybody at this school. And he was angry. And he had been involved in drugs and alcohol. And he was doing all of this different stuff. But then there was this guy named Chris, who most people in that there didn't even have a clue who Chris was. Chris invited me to his house. Chris listened to my story. And Chris explained to me how Jesus Christ loved me and forgave me. Now, when he did that, it didn't take my struggles away, but it meant that I didn't have to face my struggles alone anymore, and I began to become more the person that I really wanted to be and the person that you see here today. If anyone wants to know more about that, just come. I'll be glad to tell you. And he sat down. And that student body stood in applause. The youth minister happened to be there. And he was so overwhelmed by the speech and what had happened that he walked out. But it wasn't until he was walking to the car that he realized this was less about Mark and more about Chris. Because Chris's whole vision had been that he wanted everyone to hear the clear gospel of who Jesus Christ could be in their lives. And because he was willing to be who God wanted him to be in one point in time, God honored that vision. Graduates, you have been given an opportunity. I don't know all of the places God is going to take you, but I do know that God will give you opportunity. I ask you, I urge you to listen to observe what God's doing, to embrace God's values. Be the person God wants you to be wherever life may take you. There is nothing that can keep you from doing that, because God is more powerful than Satan or any other power on this earth. So I challenge you with that today. As we close, my last thing is that you live in such a way as to fulfill your purpose. And your purpose is to be a disciple for Christ. And being a disciple for Christ doesn't mean that you have to stand up in a pulpit and preach. It doesn't mean you have to be the one to stand up in front of a student body or in front of wherever you may be working, in front of any group of people. It simply means paying attention and doing what God wants you to do. As you seek that, you'll be a disciple of Christ, because you will grow in your relationship with God, but you'll also enable others to do the same. So as we close today, I'll be down front. If any graduates want to come, you're welcome to. I'd love to pray with you as you take this next step. The altar's open. You can kneel there and pray. There may be family members who are just desiring to lift your children before God. And not that it's something super magical about coming here. It's not. You can pray where you are as well as you can here. But when you make that statement visibly, it's a stake in the ground to say, God, this is serious. And I'm going to take it serious. And I confess that before this body of believers. If you desire to do that, the altar's open. I'll be at the front. Stand with us. I invite the praise team to come as we sing.